What's up, Yap Squad? We are coming to you from the future because we recorded these episodes prior to June. But it is now June, and you know what that means? It's the gay month. It's Pride month. And because we are gay and we have many gay friends and maybe gay family, and we love our LGBTQ plus community, we have decided to create a fundraiser that is going to go all month long. And so Sawyer is going to tell you a little bit about that. And it's going to all culminate into a really fun event at the end of the month where we are going to be hosting, drumroll, a Star Wars spelling bee with some of your favorite Star Wars creators. So Sawyer, please tell us more about this.
You got it. So we are fundraising for Point of Pride, which is a wonderful organization that provides life-saving medical care to trans folks in the United States. It is a wonderful charity. You may have heard of it before. There have been a lot of TikTok fundraisers for this charity, and it's very near and dear to our hearts, and that's why we chose it. And we, last year, we did a fundraiser. We called it A Galaxy of Pride. We raised $1,200 for the Trevor Project. This year, we are raising, hopefully, $2,500. That is our goal. There are some really wonderful rewards. If you donate even just $5, you're going to get a really cool Yap Sesh sticker in the mail. We've got some higher tier prizes as well. So be sure to go to the link, check that fundraiser out, and be there or be square on June 26th. That is a Wednesday. We will be having a evening live event, the Star Wars Spelling Bee, raising money for this project, for this charity. And we will have so many amazing creators. You aren't even prepared for the roster. It's going to be so much fun. And I am so looking forward to it. So yes, happy Pride. And
thank you for listening. And let's get right into our episode.
Yap Squad, and welcome to the first ever Brain Rot bonus episode. I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Brooke.
And we are your lovely hosts of the Yap Sesh podcast. And today we are talking about something that we both love, but I think Brooke loves more than anybody else on the entire planet.
You don't say. The Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
Yeah, so we're going to have these Brain Rot bonus episodes where we're going to be picking a topic that is a little bit more less broad than maybe some of our other episodes are going to be, and talk about it because, you know, we've got our hyper fixations and we're going to
not stop yapping.
We can't stop yapping about it, and I will never stop yapping about something like this. So we thought it would be a great first episode, it would be a great topic to start with. And I wore my new hat that I got when I was in New York this weekend because we love Daddy Pedro Pascal, our very own Joel Miller. But we are going to be talking about the video games primarily and also the show. So this will be your like spoiler warning. I think we're going to do some non-spoiler stuff first. So if you've never gotten into The Last of Us before and you're interested in hearing some of our non-spoilery thoughts, stick around. But then we will be getting into spoiler territory later. We'll start with our non-spoiler stuff. I wanted us to both talk a little bit about our history with The Last of Us or our experience with playing the games and watching the series. So Sawyer, if you want to start first, because I know we have different experiences.
We do. I mean, I've been consciously aware of The Last of Us for a while, and I think I was made like, I wasn't like interested in it necessarily, but I think it was a combination of, I think the trailer for the show dropped for season one, and you were talking about it, and I was like, ooh, okay, wait a second, this actually seems interesting. I am not the biggest zombie fan on the planet, but I do like when zombie
stories venture closer into the world of science, because I'm a scientist and then, you know, I like things to be realistic, even in sci-fi. So when I first heard about it, I looked it up and I was like, whoa, wait a second, this is totally different. And then I watched the show. It's still one of my favorite television shows of all time. Specifically, episode 3, in my opinion, is like the best episode of television that I have ever seen. Best love story in an hour that anyone has ever told. But then I finally got into gaming, and, you know, Brooke and a couple of other of my friends, you know, you always hear when you start gaming, like, oh, it's not the same. You have to play the game. And I was like, but do I? I've watched playthroughs. I watched playthroughs before I watched the show. So I knew what I was getting into. But then I hadn't watched anything from part 2. So I finally said, okay, fine, we'll do it. And I played them back to back within a span of like a month. And I had a lot of thoughts. But I don't think I know how you got into Last of Us to start with. So what's that story?
Yeah. I feel like it's also something that I have been consciously aware of for a long time. I took a long, long break from any kind of gaming. I played a lot of games when I was growing up, and then I kind of just fell off of gaming in high school and college. So it was really only in the last few years that I've picked it up again. And my brother has also always been a big gamer. And I can't remember how long ago it was. I think I was still living at home. We were both still at home. And we had the PlayStation in the living room. So he was playing The Last of Us. And I watched him play through a lot of it. The very first, I won't talk about any spoilers yet, but the very first thing that I ever watched him play through was the scenes with Sam and Henry. And the scenes at the end of Sam and Henry. And I was like, what is this crazy game? Like, that was wild walking into that.
What an introduction.
Quite an introduction. I was very intrigued, but I still didn't play it. And then once the show had been announced, I was like, okay, I really need to play this game, because I was so fascinated with the story. I had a vague idea of what it was about, but not, you know, I had never experienced it firsthand myself yet. So I played through it and I was like, wow, what have I been missing my whole life? And then I played it like 8 more times back to back to back to back, up until the show released. And I played part 2. It took me a really long time. I took a break. Like, I kept replaying part 1, and I was like, I know what's coming in part 2, because I had been spoiled ahead of time of most of the, like, big story beats. And so I was, like, pushing it off and pushing it off, because I knew that it was going to hurt me emotionally. And then I finally played it, and then I've played, you know, since then I've played both of them, like, 12 times. I love the games so, so much. They are so special and dear to me. I watched the show when it was releasing. I had like a watch party every Sunday with my friends. It was really fun to watch. My brother and his boyfriend came over every weekend, and I had 2 friends and my boyfriend were there. And it was really fun that my brother and I were the only 2 people that had played through the game. So it was really entertaining to watch everyone's reactions experiencing the story for the first time, while we would like just look at each other and be like, oh my god, like they don't know what's coming, or they don't know what they're gonna see next. And that was a really special experience. And then I finally got my boyfriend to play both of them, and I'm so, because after the first season of the show, I was like, I cannot wait years to not talk about this with you, because I need to talk about what is going to happen. And he was like, I don't want to be spoiled or whatever. And I was like, okay, but will you play the games? And he's like, I'm down. So he played the games. And the most beautiful thing about it, like major green flag, is that he understood part 2 and liked it. And like, he went through all of the emotions that the game was trying to like get you to feel in like a positive way, and not in the like, I hated this because it made me feel things, so it's terrible. And I was like, that's it. That's perfect. I love him. It's great. But yeah, it's my favorite thing ever. I started cosplaying Ellie and Abby. I did both of them at New York Comic Con last year. And I have an entire Last of Us shelf of stuff, of the art book and statues. And I have another statue that's going to be here on Wednesday of a clicker, because a clicker is like my favorite monster ever. I think the concept is so cool. We'll talk about it a little bit later because they go into it more in the show than they did in the game. But like, I studied environmental science in college. That's what my degree is in. So the way that they were able to connect it back to like climate change and just how based in real science it all is just makes me so happy. That is like, oh, it's so good. But yeah, that's like my experience with it. I am not chill about The Last of Us.
Can confirm. Never, yes. Not chill is not the word I would describe. We went to Halloween Horror Nights together last year because the main big house was The Last of Us.
Yes, we did.
And it was like, if you haven't hung out with like a neurodivergent person before, if they are like immersed in their special interest, they're not going to talk to you. Know if you were nervous, but you were just like we, you were just there were just there was just you could tell you were just like in heaven because it was, oh my god, The Last of Us. She was so immersed in what was going on and just everything that was The Last of Us themed that I literally had to like call out to her. She was rushing through the house and she almost missed the giant bloater, and I was like,
I know. Well, the thing is, like, I was excited because I was like, oh my god, this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to me. I was like stimming and like nervous, but I was also terrified because I hate haunted houses. I hate scary shit. I do not like horror movies. Like, The Last of Us is like about the level of scare. I love zombie stuff. I love apocalypse things. That is like about as the level of scary that I get. And I was like so nervous because I was like, they're gonna pop out at me and I'm gonna be really excited but really scared. And
there were a lot of jump scares. There were quite a few jump scares in that
house. A lot of jump scares. I'm not gonna lie, I loved going and I'm so glad I had the experience, but then I saw the Hollywood house and that was a lot more of a theatrical experience because they had more like Joel and Ellie, and I was like, damn, I didn't know they were different. I would not have been able to afford to go to Hollywood anyway. So I'm like so happy that I got to go to Orlando and I had someone to go with me. So, but anyway, it was really cool. And I hope they do something like that again. If they did something like that for like a part two, it's over.
Yeah, that would be sick. We'd be there. Absolutely. You know, and the theming was so amazing. You know, I have like personal beef with Universal, but you know, they had like whole ass like corridors that were decorated to look like you were in a Fedra zone. And like, I still have my can. I don't know if you have yours. I still have my Fedra can from the ravioli.
It's on the show.
And like, and then somebody gave you, you were in your Ellie cosplay and someone gave you some, what did they,
they gave me a ration card. They gave me, had like printed ration cards and they had given me one because it was a loose Ellie cosplay. It was basically my cosplay without the brown wig because my hair was still blonde at the time. Now I like unintentionally have Ellie's hair color and haircut, so I can do it without the and by unconsciously there is some level of consciousness that's like, yes, this is exactly like Ellie. I just wanted to stop bleaching my hair though, honestly. But no, that was super cool. And we got to see one of my favorite YouTubers there too. That was so random.
I forgot about that. They did a really great job. And we were only there for The Last of Us. I don't think we did any other houses. I think that's the only one we did.
We wanted to do the Stranger Things house, but the line just never got any shorter. And the other one, I feel like if I had done it again, I probably would have been like, okay, I need to suck it up because I spent money on this event. I need to go to more of the houses. But we did some of the rides and I had never been to Universal before. So I still got, you know, a good experience out of it. And it is what it is. It was fun. It was good.
10 out of 10 would do it again. But yeah, anyways, so what else we need to, we know that we're Last of Us fans, but like, what's our favorite elements of the games, the story, the characters?
Yeah. So
can you realistically pick one favorite?
If I had to pick a favorite character,
you can pick a favorite character from part one and part two.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so hard. So my whole thing is like, Ellie is the heart of The Last of Us. This is the story about Ellie. So without, we'll move into spoiler territory in a minute, but without getting into spoiler territory, even though you play as Joel in the first game, like, the story is about Ellie. Like, she is the heart and soul of this world, of the game. But Joel is just, Joel Miller is like one of my favorite fictional characters of all time for a multitude of reasons. I just love him so much. So I would have to pick probably Joel overall. I love Ellie, but Ellie made me really mad in part two the first time I played through it. Like, I had some beef, but that was the point, you know. That was the point to have that. And part two, I have to say, I love, it's so hard to pick because I love everyone genuinely so dearly, like, and I love everyone's story. But if I had to pick, I would say I love Dina, but I think I love Lev. Lev in part two is probably my favorite character.
Mm. Yeah. And that's why we have this podcast, folks, because we really answer the same way to these questions. Yeah, I think I would have to agree with you. Joel is, there is just something, like, yes, obviously he plays a very pivotal role in part two, but there is, first of all, just like gameplay wise, I think he's my favorite character to play as. Mm-hmm. But also there's just, because of the way that he is involved in part two, it's just different, and I definitely felt his absence as, like, but honestly, like, I don't know if that was like story-wise or just like Ellie does not have the physical capabilities of Joel, so playing it's as different her,
yes, like, it is a different, I really appreciate the different physicalities that all of the mm-hmm. protagonists or the player characters that you get. I loved playing as Joel in the first mm-hmm. game, but then when you switch to Ellie in part two, it's such a, you have to strategize so differently because she doesn't have the same physicality. She can't just, you know, punch a zombie to death with her bare hands in the same way that Joel can. Yeah. Now, I think that they supplemented that by giving us a player character like Abby, who has a lot, mm-hmm. and I could do an entire Brain Rot episode about how Joel and Abby are like mirrors of each other, and people don't want to hear it, but they are, and that's intentional. But like, because she has a much more similar gameplay style
mm-hmm.
when you play as Abby than when you play as Joel, when you're comparing them. Okay, so we'll move into spoiler territory in a second, but I had another couple questions. What is your favorite weapon in the game?
Weapon.
Or favorite fighting style to use?
Oh, gosh. That honestly, well, first of all, you already, you know, I just want to clarify that when I said that we have the same answers, I meant it. Like, I would have both said Dina or Lev.
oh, no. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Yapping. But, speaking of, my favorite weapon is the bow and arrow. I don't like the crossbow. I do not think it gives the same effect. I think it's harder to use. It annoys me. When I was first playing it, one of the big contributing factors was A, the fact that my partner had the games, so I didn't have to buy them, and B, the fact that he absolutely, Abby from part two is one of his favorite fictional characters of all time. And I remember texting Brooke when I first met my boyfriend, and I was like, I think this is a really green flag. And she was like, yes, keep him.
Yes, it is. And then when I met him for the first time, I was dressed as Abby. So,
yeah. Know. And he still talks about it all the time. He's just like, gosh, I just really can't wait for Brooke to wear her Abby cosplay again. Yeah, I mean, all of Brooke's cosplays are amazing. But that being said, I am very, like, I'm very against, anytime I play an RPG, I always take like the quiz at the beginning of the game, and it tells me that I'm supposed to be, like, it gives me extra points for melee. I hate melee weapons. I don't use them. Uh-huh. I try to avoid them at all costs. I also hate machine guns. So, like, I am very much like your standard pistol kind of gal, but I was having such a hard time with part one and the clickers. And he was like, babe, you gotta use the bow and arrow. You gotta use the bow and arrow. And I was not good at it at first, but eventually got really, really good at it. And there's something so satisfying about shooting it right in the center and it falls in the ground. It's just, they don't alert the other clickers in the area. It's definitely the bow and arrow.
I like the crossbow, actually. I do like the crossbow. Okay. I am not, so the first time I played the games, I was so scared. And I was playing as I was reading a walkthrough. I know you're not supposed to do that. I don't care. I don't like being jump scared. So I needed to know when there were jump scares. But I was so cautious because I didn't know where the enemies were, right? Like, so I played super safe and super stealthy when I could. But now going back, especially the first game, like I could tell you where all of the resources are that you can pick from, where all of the enemies are that you can get. And so I just like, anyway, I started blasting. Like that's my strategy now. But I still really like, especially in part two when they introduce the silencer, is playing stealth but ranged. So I don't like it makes me nervous to like sneak up on someone from behind and stab them or choke them. I will if I have to, but I much prefer to use like the silencer, the bow and arrow, the crossbow to get rid of as many enemies as I can before being like spotted and have to engage in like real combat. I'm a button masher for life. So it is hard for me also playing RPGs to use like melee things because all I want to do is button mash, and it's like, no, you have to be strategic about it and you have to know how to dodge. At least in the second one, they don't have dodging in the first game, which is
right,
like
a quarter for every time my sibling or Billy has been like, you need to dodge when I run up on an enemy. Like, I'd be so rich.
Oh yeah, with every single game I play, I that's how it happens. Okay, and my last question before we go into spoiler territory is, do you prefer part one or part two more?
I think we actually differ on this. I think, at least right now, I don't know if it's recency bias or just not that, like having time to simmer and let it sit. I think I prefer part two. There's definitely elements that are harder to go through like story-wise, but there's just everything that made The Last of Us unique in the gaming world. You know, things like having to tap your flashlight and like, you know, just the realism behind it that was not really seen before, and they kind of set a standard for video games. They knocked it out of the park even further when part two, and I think there's just something like it's not like a movie game. Like, you know, there are games where it's basically just a movie that you press the occasional button. It's not like that, but in the same way, it is cinematic. It is an experience. I think I felt more removed, like more of a player in the first game. And I feel like I'm actually moving with Ellie and Abby in the second game. So when I do revisit them, I think I will start by replaying too.
Okay. No, they are very cinematic games, and I think part two does this especially well. And I know that there are people who don't love the gameplay style of even with the improved mechanics in part two. But what I love so much about it is that it is at least I feel it is intentionally clunky because it is supposed to be so based in what would really happen. You know, like when I play Uncharted, realistically, I know that no one in the world could scale a building or jump from iceberg to iceberg or like icy cliffside to icy cliffside with their bare hands and like hold on to the mountainside. Like it's obviously there's a level of it being unrealistic because it's a video game. But then you go to something like The Last of Us and the way that you sprint and you slow down because you start to get tired, or the way that you have to maneuver around desks and other things, and how it's like clunky, and how it's like you get off balance because like that's what would happen in a like as a real person. And I really appreciate that detail, is that it makes it a little bit more challenging that you're not like this superhuman that can just magically work their way around a room, especially a dark room sometimes, and like make it out without slipping or tripping and falling. Like, I love that aspect of it. But to answer the question, I prefer part one, just because I love the simplicity of the story. I think I'm a firm believer that stories do not have to be super nuanced and super detailed or super crazy with all these twists and turns for it to be a good story. Like, it is the first one is formulaic. I think it does subvert some expectations and subvert some regular storytelling tropes in a really beautiful way, but it is a very simple plot with simple characters. And as beautiful as part two expands on that and adds so much nuance that I could literally like write a thesis on it. I just love, there's something about the like intimacy of the first game that just really gets me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like when I do, I do intend to play both of them again. Like, I miss playing as Joel. So I think that they will, perhaps my opinion will change.
I will say it is very hard to go back and play part one after you play part two so many times, and you can't go prone and you can't dodge.
Oh yeah.
It is like a level of frustration that I'm like, shit, I forgot I can't do that with this. that you can do with part two. But story wise, I gotta go with one. But okay. I think it's time to go into some spoiler territory. So we're still going to talk a little bit more about our favorites of the game, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the show and where this franchise is going forward, and then we have some listener questions that we want to respond to. So with spoilers now, let's talk about some of our favorite moments. It could be from part one or part two or the show.
Well, I already said that, like, in the show, that episode three with Bill and Frank is definitely my absolute favorite love story of all time. I just think that the way that they expanded on it and changed it was so beautiful, and kind of the way that I probably was intended to be in the original like development of the story. And I just absolutely loved it. But overall, I mean, gosh, that's so tough. Is this a hot take? This is a hot take. It shouldn't be a hot take. I have a soft spot for the boat scene in part two.
Really?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of controversy around it. And I think I at first was like, this is not appropriate. And then Mel was such a bitch to Abby on day three that I was like, you know what? First of all, people are so disgusting about the way they talk about Abby. Abby is an incredible character. Her development throughout the story is, like Brooke said, so much like Joel's own journey that he goes on in part one. And big, strong girls are beautiful, so shut up. And also, that scene is so, looking back on it, and looking back on what Owen really wanted for his life and like what was taken away from them and the pressures of, you know, trying to figure out where they belong, because they don't really belong. I don't think Owen ever really belonged with the wolves. But like looking back, I have to have a soft spot for it, because there's like this shred of like, oh my gosh, wait, they could find that, you know, spark and that happiness that they had together if they went away to go try to find these fireflies. Like, oh man, you know, there's like a longing. So when I say I have a soft spot, like obviously yes, there's some moral questions there, but there's moral questions with every character in this series. And
right, that's the kind of like the whole point, is that it's not black and white.
Exactly.
To me the boat scene is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Just how vulnerable both of the characters are and what they're going through. I think a lot of people, there are a lot of haters that don't like it because of Abby not being your, you know, standard conventional beauty that we normally see. But there's also a lot of like Abby stans that hate Owen. And sure, Owen is not the greatest guy. He does some shitty stuff. But like, to me, it's just really sad because he has also experienced a lot. He's been with Abby through all of it. And he's been with her from their transition from the Fireflies to the Wolves. I agree. I don't think that he ever really belonged with the Wolves. That was just, I don't think Abby ever belonged with them either. That was just like, this is the safety that we found in this situation that we're in. And this is what we have to deal with. And I think, I don't hate Mel. I don't like how she treats Abby. I think everyone in this game deserves better on some level.
That's true, yeah.
But I also think like it just sucks for everyone. And I feel like Mel was not understanding enough and was also very hypocritical because she is like their healer or their doctor, and mm-hmm. she still like was on the side of, no, I think Joel deserved worse than what he got. And it's like, well, yeah. What side are you on? Because now she like resents Abby for what happened, even though she says, you know, with her words that she agrees with what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole thing. And like, if you think about it, if you watch it back, Owen is the reason that they didn't kill Ellie. Like, mm-hmm. he's what stopped them from just discarding all of them and saving Tommy too. So, you know, you can't look at it in a vacuum. You got to look at it.
Yeah.
These characters from all sides. Mm-hmm. But other favorites?
Actually, while we were talking about this, something else that came to mind, just gameplay wise, I wouldn't say I'm a completionist, but I do like to pick up lore and pick up artifacts and stuff when I'm playing games. And I think one of my favorite sequences is the sewers in part one. First of all, I thought it would be a lot worse than it was. It was a lot shorter playing it than like watching a playthrough. But that whole sequence, learning the story of the families that were living in the sewers, the classroom, all the Easter eggs, and just the world building in these games like is so incredible. But I think that is so sad. It's so sad, but it is just a testament to the world that Neil Druckmann created and the attention to detail and really just every single character, even the ones we don't ever see, are so fleshed out. And I think that is a perfect example of it. So that is another favorite of mine, I think.
It feels like such a lived-in world because of all of these notes and things that we see, and even just the level of detail that they've put into the environments that you go through. And that was something I also really appreciated about the show, that it really got the tone of the world right, and that was so important. But yeah, no, something that was that hit me so hard was when you go through the sewers, there's a section where you can find like a kid's classroom, and you see on the ground, you read a note, and the note says like, if it gets bad, I'll make sure that, you know, I'll do what has to be done. And then on the ground, like written in chalk, it says they didn't suffer. And then you see like these children covered with like a tarp, that, you know, whatever adult was in there with them, because the place got overrun by infected. Like, it's just so, it hit me so hard. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is the world that they live in. It makes me so sad, but I'm also just like, oh, it's so good. The same time.
Yeah, no, it's so good. I mean, there's something to be said about the fact that even though you're already well accustomed to the world after you've played one, then you go into the second one and you think you have seen everything there is to see about this sad post-apocalyptic fungal universe, and then every single note just hits you like in part two the same way that it does with part one. And like, they've thought of every sad outcome for the world that you could possibly imagine. It really sucks, but at the same time, it's like tragically beautiful, you know. It makes it feel like a, you know, there are other games and universes. Like Fallout comes to mind because I'm playing through my first Fallout game right now, and like, yeah, there's amazing lore in Fallout, but there's something so intimate about The Last of Us, and that it's as though they genuinely cared about every single fake human that lived in this world, and that just makes it so special and unlike any other gaming experience I've had personally.
Most of my favorite moments, I think, come from interactions between Joel and Ellie, but I also, yeah, I love just all of the, and I love this about the show. I love this so much about the show. All of the, and this is why when I tell people, like, I'm not gatekeeping, but like, genuinely, if you're going to play the game, like, play it and play it all the way through. Don't just watch the cutscenes. Or if you're going to watch a playthrough, like, if you're going to watch the story, don't just watch the cutscenes, because so many character beats happen or good character moments happen throughout the gameplay. And Naughty Dog is so good about adding these beautiful moments of dialogue while you're just going through the environment. Even if nothing crazy is happening, you're not engaging in any combat, you're not, you know, scaling the side of a building. It's just these small moments that are so good. Like, one of my favorites in part one is when they're in, they go into the hotel in Pittsburgh and they're in the little lobby, and they put this in the show too, where Ellie like goes up to the front, like where the bellhop would be. And she's like, oh yes, like I would like one room, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so cute. And it's such, they make her feel like a teenager. Like, she is this girl, yeah, that it comes from this terrible world, but at the same time is sheltered only to the point that she has not experienced the old world. So there's all these things that she's read about but has not ever experienced. So seeing, mm-hmm, all of it for the first time, like, one of the first things she says is, holy shit, I'm actually outside. There's so many of those little moments. I still want a tattoo that says, there's a moment where Ellie asks Joel if he ever used to go to coffee shops, and he's like, yes, all the time. And she said, well, what would you order? And he says coffee, just coffee. And I so desperately want, and I'm a huge coffee person, I drink coffee all the time, I want a tattoo with a coffee cup that just says just coffee, just like the line. And it's one of my favorite moments. I'd say one of my other favorites in part one is after Ellie runs away and they have their big blowout argument, there's this moment where they're going back to Jackson. And at that point, Joel has already made up his mind. Despite what he said to Ellie, he did not actually mean those things, and is like, no, I'm going to continue on with this because I did not realize how much this girl cared about me. And in that it wasn't until then that I didn't realize how much I cared about her. And I love that their relationship has never been, you know, super fuzzy, super like lovey-dovey. It feels very realistic to me, because that's how a lot of relationships are, especially, mm-hmm, between parents and children. As much as we want, you know, to have that super loving relationship with our parents, not everyone has that. And sometimes it shows to me like how close they are, that they don't need those things. They don't even need the right words to understand each other. Mm-hmm. Because Joel is like, all right, get on the horse, we're gonna go. And then he just looks back and he said, you good? And Ellie goes, yeah, I'm good. And like, that is all they need. I love that they did something similar in the show in the finale. When Ellie says something, they're talking about Sarah, and Ellie says like, well, I'm glad that you've had the time to, you know, come to terms with, or, you know, to heal from Sarah's death. And he tells her it wasn't time that did it. And they just give each other a look. And Ellie says something like, oh, And she says, I can't remember what she says else, but I'm like, that is the closest that we will ever get to them telling each other, I love you. And that's, yeah. I don't need them to explicitly tell each other that they love each other. That's like all I need. And I think those moments are so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the ending of part two, and I totally agree with you. I've got beef with Ellie. I am not happy with the way things ended in that game. And I have a hard time, you know, as beautiful as the ending is, it's just like, that's like a whole other episode. But I think, you know, what's so crazy is that the show does evolve what we see in the game and allows for us to kind of expand on the world and expand on some of the side characters and stuff. But the show, in so many ways, even with just like Joel moving the shelf and like stuff, like it is so one-to-one with the game at points that when I played the game for the first time, I was like, wait, aren't I missing a dialogue option? And Billy was like, yeah, you're missing a dialogue option. Like, he's supposed to like when they're almost about to get to the Fireflies, and I'm like, doesn't he say that he like gave himself his own like a self-inflicted gun wound? That's not in the game. That is from the show.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some such beautiful creative choices that they made. And what I love about the show too is that because the games exist, they can now pull more from part two to foreshadow what is going to happen in season two. And not even just because we actually got to see Jackson in the show, and we got to see what becomes Ellie's horse, which is cool. But even just like little moments that are like, oh, this is foreshadowing for later. Like, my biggest headcanon in the games is that Ellie's denim shirt that she wears in Seattle is a shirt that belonged to Joel. And then all through like the entire season, almost, Joel is wearing, I mean, he is wearing a similar denim shirt in the game, which is why I think that, but like, I feel like they made it more explicit. Like, this is a denim shirt that Joel is wearing and Ellie's going to wear it later. And if that turns out to be true, I will need 4 to 5 business days to process that.
It's going to hurt so bad. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But I mean, that begs the question, what is season two going to look like? What do you think? Because there's a lot of speculation and nobody has made any kind of like confirmation. And we got a couple of people asking us on our Twitter and on Instagram, like what we think is going to happen in season two. So this is a good place to talk about that, because like,
yes.
I think we have different opinions a little bit.
I think so. Okay, it's so hard that I think about this literally all the time, and I've like talked it out numerous occasions with different people, and I feel like I change my mind every time about what we're gonna see. I think we know that season two is not going to be the entire game. They're splitting it into multiple seasons because I think there is enough material that it would be hard unless you did like a 12 to 15 episode season to do the entire game. We know that it's only going to be 7 episodes. So the first season was 9 episodes. It was supposed to be 10, but they put the first 2 episodes into one. So the first episode was originally supposed to be episode 1 and 2. If you haven't listened to The Last of Us HBO official like companion podcast, I highly suggest it, because they have Craig and Neil on it, and Troy Baker, who plays Joel in the games, is the host. And so they all have a lot of really good insight. But they said that when originally the first episode was supposed to end on 20 years later, when you see Joel working and he throws the body of the child into the fire, and that was the episode. And that is like pre him and Ellie meeting. And I feel like they went back and they were like, this can't, no. Like, we have to have them at least meet each other and like start their adventure, which is why we got such a long first episode. So I am going to say that is what they're going to do for season two. And because of that, Joel is going to die in the first episode. And that is just, people keep going back and forth. Oh, do you think they're going to push it and they're not going to kill him off until later in the season? No, they're going to do it in the first one, because to me, that is the catalyst that sets off the entire story of part two. And unless they wanted to go more chronological, where they have the flashback scenes in the beginning and then do that. But I just think for the tone and the storytelling aspect of it, the flashbacks work really well as flashbacks. I can't say the same for every thing that has flashbacks that I've seen, because there are many movies and shows that I've seen that overuse these flashbacks and that aren't really applicable to like what's happening in the present. But to me, they do it wonderfully in part two. So I think we're going to get the death. I think we're going to get like the very first section, like lead up to his death and the little bit of the aftermath. To me, that is like a beautiful intro to the story. And I think that would be a beautiful first episode, because you have the mystery of who is Abby? Who is this girl? Why the fuck does she have beef with Joel Miller of all people? Like, we've never seen her before. We have the mystery of what happened at the dance the night before. Why was, what happened between Dina and Ellie, and what is their dynamic like? They're introducing new characters. I think we see enough of Dina's personality, Jesse's personality. I think we see a lot of the world building of what Jackson looks like and what has been happening in the world since we last left Joel and Ellie. Mm-hmm. I think it does like a beautiful job of that. I think we see the little bit of aftermath that we get like immediately following, where they find Ellie, they find Joel, and then you have the conversation where Joel or Tommy has been, Tommy and Ellie have been working together to try to figure out where these people came from, how they can get to them, and then ultimately deciding to leave to go to Seattle. Like, that for me would be a perfect first like long episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're going to leave the season off, though, because the way that the game is, if you haven't played the games, you play from Ellie's perspective for about, I would say, up to the halfway point of the game. Mm-hmm. And then the back half of the game, I would say for most of it, you play as Abby, and you get her story. So the game follows 3 days in Seattle from Ellie's perspective first, and then we go back in time and then we see what Abby has been up to during those same 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then there is like the third act, I would say, of the story, where we get the aftermath of Seattle and like the wrap up, where there's like a little bit of a time skip. Like, I think a perfect second season would be all of the Ellie stuff and ending off on the theater showdown between Abby and Ellie. But I don't know what they would do with season 3, because we would get significantly less Ellie and it would be more Abby. And from like a marketing perspective, because of how divisive the game was and how divisive it still is with how people feel about Abby, I'm like, I don't know if they're going to have to do some like perspective switching. But they also have the ability to what we saw them add, you know, we are not constrained by the narrative of only having the player's perspective. So like the first game, we only got Joel's perspective of what was happening. And then we only got Ellie and Abby's, but we can they can expand on that because they're not doing that same first person POV in the show.
Yeah. And that's something that the show does so well, is giving like extra screen time to these other characters who have less time in the games, but are just as important to the overall narrative. So I don't want to agree with you, but I think I do, just because I think also we know that Pedro has like been on and off filming. So that means that that to me sounds like they are intending to shoot things with flashbacks. Hopefully we'll get more flashbacks than we have in the game, but that's just me selfishly wanting more Joel time. I don't know. I agree. I don't think it's going to be like Ellie one season and then Abby the next, because I think that just for people who are not familiar with the game, I know my parents loved season one. They have absolutely no idea what they're in for season two, and they don't want spoilers, and I honestly don't know if they'd even watch it if I was like, oh yeah, by the way, like, Joel's dead. So I think it would be difficult to introduce Abby, have her brutally murder Joel, and then be like, next time you're only gonna have her to follow this, like, you know. So but that being said, I mean, they could spend an equal amount of time on Abby. I think we'll have more of her interaction with all of her friends on their way to Jackson, and I think we'll also, you know, they could even do an episode in the middle of the season where they're headed back to Seattle from having completed their mission. So, you know, but I'm so bad at speculating, and especially with this team of creatives, like, I know that whatever they're going to come up with, it's going to be better than anything I could possibly have imagined. I think you're right. I think we will see Joel die in the first episode of season two.
I just can't imagine. I just can't think of a way out of it that makes sense narratively.
Yeah. And
has the same impact. Like, at first I was like, oh, is this going to be like Glenn from The Walking Dead all over again, where a lot of people stop watching? And I'm like, I desperately hope that doesn't happen, because in a different way, like, we see in The Walking Dead, Negan kills Glenn, and then we never see Glenn again. There isn't the opportunity for flashbacks in the same way that there are in part two. And I'm like, no, please keep watching, because my favorite moment in the entire game is Ellie's birthday. And it makes me sob every time. And like, I know, I think Nick on Twitter, N.A. Schmid on Twitter, asked, are there any highlights that we were looking forward to in the show? That moment is like something I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing so many of the fun moments. I don't know if we'll get this in season two or season three, but one of my favorite moments I forgot to talk about is when Abby and Lev are going over the bridge, the big like sky bridge, and Abby is deathly afraid of heights, a big part of her character. And Lev just goes, so what's going on with you and your friend Owen? And she's just like, oh my God, Lev, now? And he's like, seemed really awkward. I love their relationship too. And I hope that they flesh out more of that. I think they're going to flesh out more of the world building of the Seraphites. Mm-hmm. And when we get to the Rattlers, and I hope we get to see things from Tommy's perspective, because his story intrigues me so much. And I think that Gabriel Luna is going to do amazing, because he has already been so amazing as Tommy, and I can't wait.
Yes. Or give us a DLC of that. Like, I would love to do, like, I would love a Last of Us Part 2 DLC where we get to play as Tommy, because he goes on a rampage.
Yes.
I remember, like, you know, because Billy obviously played the game when it first came out, and so he was like, oh, you'll see how so-and-so dies. And I was like, oh gosh, that has to mean that, like, you know, it was a Seraphite or something. I totally forgot about Tommy. And I was okay.
That's probably my favorite song on the soundtrack too, is Eye for an Eye. Is the song that plays while you're having their shootout with Tommy that we don't know it's Tommy yet, and it's amazing. But to wrap things up, speaking of a DLC, they did tease, so if you watched the making of The Last of Us Part 2 that was recently released, there was like lost footage from COVID that they stopped doing it while they were working on the game, and then they picked it back up and they interviewed Neil and Ashley and Troy and a bunch of people. Anyway, at the very end, Neil Druckmann says that he thinks there is still one more part of this story to tell, which means nothing official has been announced. But I would assume that there would be a Last of Us Part 3 in our distant future. Is there anything in particular that you would like to see? I know you said that you're not great at speculating. I'm also not great at speculating. Anything that we come up with is probably not going to be as good as what they come up with. But like, if there was anything you wanted to see, what would you want to see in a Part 3?
Yeah, I mean, Honestly, I honestly would like the game to start with Abby and Lev. I want to know that they're okay. I want to know that they are hopefully not being driven by the same motivations as Ellie, because I think Abby has grown up a lot, and I think Abby was not expecting things to end that way, and I wasn't expecting things to end. I knew things weren't going to end well, but I did have a shred of hope there when Ellie got there and untied them. I was like, okay, they're going to have some kind of truce, but inherently based on Ellie's actions, I knew that wasn't going to happen. So I hope they find the Fireflies, and I hope the game starts with them. I also, honestly, like, maybe I'm just mad at Ellie, but I want to know that Dean is okay. I want to know that JJ's okay. I want to know that everybody is okay. And if Ellie needs to go sit in a quiet corner and, like, deal with her actions for a little bit, and then we don't see her for half the game, I would be okay with that. Mm-hmm. But as for where her story fits into the game, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's so hard to think. Like, I've always been in the camp that I think a part three would be more interesting if we play as Abby, or if we get more from Abby. I think there's a place for Ellie. Really what I, and this kind of my idea was sparked after watching the Walking Dead Dead City spinoff with Maggie and Negan.
Oh yeah.
Is I would love to see, because, and I not in any type of enemies to lovers way, because that is not what I want out of Negan and Maggie, and definitely not what I would want out of Ellie and Abby. I know there are some Ellie Abby shippers out there, and I respect you, but I just can't get behind it. But in the way that I would love to see them be forced into a situation where they have to work together, the only way that I can see that happening is if Abby and Lev found the Fireflies on Catalina Island, which the end loading screen in part two, once you finish the game and it goes back to the main loading screen, it shows Catalina Island. So that is my confirmation that they were able to reach the island and find the Fireflies. I would love to see the Fireflies start to rebuild. As much as I'm like mostly anti-Firefly, especially in part one, I think it's not an inherently bad organization. It was just not run well at the time, and that's a whole other conversation. We could have probably a whole episode about the science of The Last of Us.
Yeah, we have to do this again, because definitely.
I would love to see them, if there was someone still working on a cure, that's the only way that I could see Ellie's story fitting back into it, because we know Abby knows that she's immune, the only immune person that they've ever met. I think that's the only, hopefully the only reason that Ellie would ever leave again, and like leave her life behind in the, not in the way of revenge, but in the way of like the hope of maybe being able to do what she set out to do from the beginning. I just spilled my drink everywhere. It's mostly empty. That's my idea, but like whatever it is, as long as it's set in the Last of Us universe, I will be happy.
Yeah, I would play any spinoff. I would do any of it. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you'll convince me to play Uncharted at some point, but I think it's so different that I need a little convincing. Okay, I think that wraps everything up. Thank you so much for tuning in to our first brain rot bonus episode. This was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to do these again, because it's just fun to sit and talk about the things we love.
Yeah, this was a great time. If there are any other topics that you'd like us to talk about, you can let us know on any of our socials, YapSashPod on Instagram and Twitter or X, and then yap.sesh.podcast on TikTok. But yeah, until next time, yap on, yappers.